Now, don't panic. I know that there's a lot of books of the Bible up there today. We're not going to go through every one, but I put them up there so that you could have that for your reference, because you know you shouldn't just take our word for it. Amen? You should go home and you should check these things out for yourselves. That's the greatest way to learn, is reading it for yourself. But I can't tell you how excited I am about this particular offering message. It's about the overflow, but Lacey a couple weeks ago had brought me a verse that she found in Isaiah, and it's Isaiah 1:19, and it says, if you are willing and obedient. Oh, wait a second. Where have we heard those words, right? If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. Someone say, I want to eat of the good of the land. So I will be willing and obedient. That's important. It's important that we know what our job is so that we can release the Lord to do his job. Amen? How many people know he's got things planned in store for us, but he's just waiting for our obedience and willingness to do it? And today we've gone through Abraham and the overflow in his life, and we went through the overflow in Isaac's life, and now we're going to get to the third generation, and it's the overflow in Jacob or Israel's life. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn over to Genesis 35. And this is about God provides. And I know that you know that God provides, but I wanted you to see something powerful here. Because your obedience and willingness to serve the Lord doesn't just affect now. I mean, it does affect now. But we set something into motion that will just keep going and going in our lives, that will be a blessing that will extend beyond what we can imagine. And sometimes when we look at things in our lives, we go, man, why did that work out the way it did? And sometimes the Lord blesses us later on that we can go, oh, that's what he was doing. Amen? And so when we look in Genesis 35, we see that the whole chapter is about Jacob or Israel listening to God. And he tells him in verse 1, Jacob, arise and go to Bethel and dwell there and make an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you fled from the face of your brother Esau. And so we see that he did what the Lord commanded him to do. And in verse 9, he appeared to him again and said, I want you to go. That's the second time he appeared to him. He renamed him Israel. And he promised to make him fruitful and to multiply in the land which he was giving him. Then God went from him where the place where he talked to him in verse 14. And so Jacob set up a pillar or a stone, and he poured out an offering in verse 14. He offered something to the Lord. Amen? So the Lord told him directions of what to do, and he was willing and obedient. And in verse 16 it says, then he journeyed from Bethel because the Lord had given him new instructions of where to go. So he keeps following the Lord. He keeps being obedient and willing as the Lord moves him place to place. But the key thing I want you to remember is that the Lord said he would bless him and multiply him. Very important. The Lord said he would bless him and multiply him. When he promised to bless him, he promised to provide for Jacob. Now, in verse 36 and 37, there's some things that happen in Jacob's family, and one of the biggest things is his son Joseph. All of a sudden, he's gone out of his life. Joseph was everything to Jacob, everything to him. But you see, sometimes when something that looks like it's our everything in our life disappears, it's just for a season. Amen? Because ultimately, God has a plan. And the plan, I love this, are you ready for this? The plan was God needed to provide for Jacob. God needed to provide for Jacob, so he blessed Jacob with a son named Joseph that wore a coat of many colors. A lot of times we look at that as a favored coat from his father, Jacob, or Israel. But it also was significant because it meant this child was set apart. There was something special about them. We know from an early age that Joseph had dreams and visions of the future. Amen? And they didn't know then, but God did, that there was a famine that was going to hit this entire region of the world. A huge famine. Amen? And Jacob needed Joseph to be right where God needed him to be. And we often look at things, and the enemy meant for harm something, to tear this family apart, to ruin Joseph's life. But Joseph had learned from a young man, from his father, you obey and you be willing. He watched his dad listen to the voice of the Lord. His kids were around when he built these altars, when he poured out his offering, when he listened to the voice of God. He shared those stories with his kids. That's how this gets passed down and how we even know about it, because one generation declares the glory of God to another generation. He knew from his father's example, if you are obedient and willing, God takes care of you. And we see through Joseph's life, with these next couple of chapters, that God moves him from Jacob in Bethel, and he brings him to Egypt. And then in Egypt, we see that he ends up in prison not of his accord. But you see, God always has a plan. Say, God has a plan. God has a plan. Joseph may have never met the cupbearer in Potiphar's home, but he met him in prison. And in that prison, he was elevated and exalted. So he was in prison, but he really wasn't in prison. Does that make sense? Everywhere he went, he had favor. The enemy thought he was doing something bad to Joseph and Jacob. Oh, but God had a plan. When you live in the overflow, God always has a plan. It doesn't matter what it looks like in the natural, you have to realize he has a plan. And we find out that Pharaoh has a dream, and the cupbearer remembers, oh, there's this young man named Joseph who knew my dream. And he goes from prison to the palace, boom, just like that. And all of a sudden, the enemy's going, whoa, wait a minute. This isn't what I was doing. Wait, what are you doing? What are you doing? And we see that he's able to tell the Pharaoh his dream and what it means, and tells him, this is what you need to do. And he says, look for a guy who can do this. Then Pharaoh says, I don't have to look any further than you. Nobody else could figure this out except for you. So here's my ring. You are now second in command. Just stop and think about this. You are now second in command of Egypt, and there is no one greater than you than but me. That's what Pharaoh does to him. And he says, you go do everything that your God has showed you to do. And so what does he do? He starts storing up for the famine. Now, meanwhile, we still have Jacob over here, who's still being obedient and willing to trust the Lord. But he hasn't seen his son Joseph in a long time. But somebody say, God has a plan. And God always provides. So we see that this famine comes, and Jacob, it says, in Genesis 42, verse 1, he says this. When Jacob saw that there was grain in Egypt, Jacob said to his son, why do you look at one another? He said, indeed, I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down to that place and buy. What do you say? Buy. He was prepared to do this on his own. He was prepared to do what he needed to do. He had the finances to do it. But say, God has a plan, and God provides. Are you ready for this? This is awesome. Then you see that his sons go through a series of different things. Joseph recognizes them. They don't recognize Joseph. A lot of men in Egypt wore their hair a little differently, their clothes a little differently, and a lot of them wore makeup a little differently than probably Jacob's brothers were used to seeing. Amen? So it was, there was that room for them to not know who he was. He was very changed from what they were used to. And it says that he did different things to them, thought they would call him out as spies. He was checking out to see, are his brothers the same guys? that threw him in that pit, right? And then we see that finally he lets them come out of prison. He gives them their grain. And then in verse 25, it says, then Joseph gave a command to fill their sacks with grain. Listen to this. To restore every man's money to his sack and to give them provisions for the journey. What just happened? God just provided for Jacob. Even though Jacob had the money, God said, there's your money back, there's your provisions, and then he also sent them with provisions for the trip home. They didn't even have to dig into the grain. Somebody say amen. Are you seeing what's happening? This is all because way back here, Jacob was obedient and willing to do what God asked him to do. He poured out a drink offering, and look what he's receiving. Provision. God always provides for his children when we are obedient and willing. But it doesn't stop there. We see again that they use up all the food, and in 43, Jacob tells the boys, go back again. They say, we can't go back. We have the money that they gave us. We're going to be in big trouble, and we can't go back without Benjamin. So we see again, Jacob is faced with a decision. Do I be willing and obedient and give up this son too, or I just stay here? He gives them Benjamin, and they go back. And again, we see in chapter 44, that when they go to return home, they had brought double the silver. They had the means to pay. Amen? But what happens again? Joseph says, put all the money back in their bags again. They still have not paid for any of the grain that they have been blessed with. God has provided for them in this famine that he knew was coming. God always provides. So again, they don't pay. And then in chapter 47, we see that Jacob is reunited with his lost son, Joseph. And there is rejoicing. There is beyond words that Jacob is beholding his son Joseph. And Joseph is in a place now to be used of God again to provide for his family. Chapter 47, verse 11. Joseph situated his father and his brothers and gave them possession in the land of Egypt, the best of the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. What does it say in Isaiah 1:19? If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. They weren't just dumped off in the middle of nowhere in Egypt. They were dumped off in the best land that Ramses had to provide. The best. Let me say it again. The best. So they never paid for any of the grain that they had, that have carried them through to the famine this far. Now there's still a famine, and they are now in the best land. Is somebody seeing what God is doing when you are obedient and willing? This isn't a short-term blessing. This is a long-term blessing. It didn't just take care of Jacob. It took care of Jacob and his sons and their sons and their sons and their sons and their sons until the generation got so big that the Pharaoh at that point couldn't even handle them. This blessing outlasted Jacob and Joseph, all because one man was obedient and willing. Are you obedient and willing today? If you are, then you have the promise that is in here that God will take care of you regardless of what's going on in this world, regardless of what the financial situation in this world. It doesn't even matter if there's a famine and you can't find grain. God will always make a way. You may even have the finances to provide for yourself, but God will say, oh no. You were obedient and willing, I will provide for you and bring you into that place where regardless of what's going around the world, even if everything else is falling apart, even like in Egypt, the people in Egypt had to pay back for the grain that they got. Guess what? There is no record of Jacob and his family ever paying because it says Pharaoh provided for them. I don't know about you, but I want to be obedient and willing, and I want to be right smack dab where God wants me to be. So in the days and the weeks to come, I am in the best of the lands that the world has to offer, and I am provided for. Because he promises the wealth of the wicked are stored up for the righteous. Somebody say amen this morning. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, I just thank you for this powerful, powerful word. You are a God who provides, and it doesn't matter what anything is going on around us, God. You are greater. You are greater. You are the name above every name, that if we are obedient and willing to you, you promise, Father, that you would fulfill your promises in this word to us. And Father, our part is obedience and willingness. Father, I pray in the days and the weeks to come, Father, if you're telling us that we need to go here or go there or do this or do that, that we would say, yes, sir, and do it. That, Father, we wouldn't hesitate, God, when you give us an instruction. What if Jacob had hesitated? What if he had thought, well, I don't know, this area over here looks better? He might have missed out on the blessing that you had for him. God, we don't want to miss out. We have proof in this word that we saw today that you're able, Father, to take a seed that was sown and years later provide a harvest that covers us and our families. That's the God we serve. And today, I say, Father, I want to be willing and obedient to do all you've called me to do. So that not only are we blessed as a family, but we are blessed as a church, and we will be blessed to be a blessing. We are part of Abraham's seed, and today we say, God, use us. Use us, Father. Use us to be blessed, to be a blessing. Father, I pray for every seed to be sown today. And God, that you would encourage hearts, Father. Help us not to grow weary in well-doing. Help us not to faint at the things that we see or we hear, but help us to be strong in the Lord and the power of your might and accomplish all that you've called us to do. And we just say yes and amen to your promises today in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Well, let's pray over this message this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen. Well, we're concluding our series entitled God's Healing Flow today. Amen. How many know God is our healer? Amen. In fact, he calls himself our healer. Amen. So many would say, well, then why didn't so-and-so get healed? Well, if they were born again and they passed away, I mean, I did a memorial service yesterday, a graveside service, for a dear family member of ours who went on home to be with Jesus. And you know what? That, I said it this way to someone recently, you know, heaven is not second place reward. If someone decides they want to go home to be with Jesus, there is no harm, no foul there, right? But for where the harm and the foul is, though, let me just say it like this. If you take what happened to so-and-so and apply it to you and say, so-and-so didn't live past this age, so-and-so died of this, so-and-so got this and died or whatever, therefore, God doesn't care. He's not going to heal anybody else. If I was a ref, I'd throw a flag, blow a whistle. Right? Somebody say, don't let what happens in someone else's life influence how you think about your own life between you and Jesus. Somebody say, it's between me and Jesus, not me and someone else in Jesus, between me and Jesus. Praise the Lord forevermore. And there is great liberty in that, if we'll allow it, if we'll welcome it. There's great freedom in that. And you know, at the beginning of every service for this series, I've been showing you a video clip. Amen. There's been some very, very amazing moves of God over the years in the area of healing. You know, and we've shown clips from Oral Roberts and Catherine Kuhlman, the Copelands, what's the doctor's name about the nutrition? Yeah, Dr. Colbert and others. And today I want to show you a clip of from a Benny Hinn service, right? Just a brief clip, but don't you know God is a marvelous healer, right? And his plan is to heal and minister healing to his people, right? And he uses people to get people healed. Amen? And it doesn't mean, you know, people are perfect people or whatever. Everybody's got their issues between them and God, or they're human beings, right? But God uses people to bring a message of healing to his people. And so I just wanted to show you this as we get going.
Joan, what's going on?
Pastor, we've had the deaf and we had the crippled and we had the sick, and now this is the blind. He was born with bad eyes, and when he was 9 years old, he was hit in the right eye with a basketball. Since that time, he has been totally, absolutely blind in the right eye. When he was 17, his brother did something as they were playing and hit him in the eye, in the left eye, and was completely blind in the left eye. Pastor, he is now 23. His name is Cokes, and he can see. He can see, Pastor.
Come here, Cokes. You are blind in one eye?
Yes, sir.
In your right eye?
That's correct.
Here?
Yes.
How long?
Since I was 9 years old.
And blind in the other one since 17.
Oh, both eyes.
Both eyes are blind.
From a head trauma in the left eye caused another retinal detachment.
You can see me?
Yes, sir.
Follow me. Come on, just follow me. People, I want you to give the Lord the biggest hand of praise you can. Can you see my nose? Can you reach out and touch it? Come on. Come on. Come on, Coach. Try to touch my nose. Come on. Come on, go. You got it, brother. You got it. Come on, people. Come here, Micah. Come here, Micah. This is the way to close the service.
Amen. Somebody here, say hallelujah.
Come here, darling. Stand on this side of me here.
Oh, God is so good, isn't he? Somebody say he still does it. He still does it. Amen. And God bless Pastor Benny and his ministry. And the Lord is so good and so faithful to continue to heal. Amen. And, you know, praise God for miracle services like that, but you can be healed driving down the street. The Holy Ghost is with you. He's in your car with you. It's good to plug into healing messages and healing anointings. That's why this message is titled God's Healing Flow. But did you know there's also a sickness flow? And it ought not come from the voice of a minister. I am not a minister, let me just say it this way. I, Steve Livengood, am not a minister of sickness. No, I am a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is our healer. Therefore, I am a minister of his healing and health. I got nothing else to give you, right? Hallelujah. So, whatever you're plugging into, whatever you're listening to, whether you're here in the service today or listening to this message later online, we have to be people that are real good about guarding our ears in our hearts against things that can bring death into our life, even if it is a ministry, even if it is someone teaching something that is breeding unbelief and breeding, well, God might get you. God might make you sick to teach you something. That's just unbelief, man. Pastor Terry Copeland Pearson's this morning at Eagle Mountain said, you know what? Even if the whole world died of COVID, God's word is still true. Somebody say amen. God's word is still true. Hallelujah. And all he's looking for is someone, like Shelley was talking, one person even, who will believe him. Amen. Somebody say, I'll be that person. Amen. All we got to do is just choose and say, I believe him. Right? Hallelujah. But I want to begin with our confession for living in divine health as we have been out of KennethCopelandMinistries.org. And I just keep coming back to the one that we did in this particular flow on September 5th. I've been repeating this one like for the past 3 or 4 weeks because it is so... It just applies so perfectly to this time we're in right now. Amen? And I want you to, this is not in your notes right there, but I want you to say this after me. I have supernatural knowledge about how to take care of my body. Somebody say, my body. And isn't that one of the lies, like with the abortion thing? Stay out of my body. What a deception, right? But if you belong to Jesus Christ, then you let him show you how to take care of your body. And there's great, great people, and if you know, people in the faith and teachers and ministers. And that doesn't say we do away with everything that the world teaches, because there's some good stuff. But we have to have our ears on to Jesus. We have to have our ears on to God, right? About what to apply and what not to apply for our own lives, right? And say this, I am led by the Spirit of God about how to approach my whole life health. And I think the key word that I'm seeing today in this is the word my. My body. My whole life health. I don't let someone else who believes in abortion, who believes in leaving Americans behind in a terrible place full of terrorists, and who cheats in elections, tell me how to take care of my body. Why would I believe them? Amen, right? So we tune our voices to the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only reason people would believe that is because they're intimidated, because they're fearful. But this is not the qualities of a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, is it? Right? Somebody say no. No, it is not. And this is the big statement right here. If I could write this in red across the building, across the back wall, I love this next statement. Somebody say this. I do not let the world dictate how I take care of my body, but seek the Lord in making decisions. I seek the Lord in making decisions about my body, what I put in my body or don't put in my body. But that statement right there, I just hear Jesus saying this. I hear the voice of Jesus saying, I do not let the world dictate how I take care of my body, his body being his church. Man, that is so 2021 right there. Right? Jesus saying, I don't let the world tell me how to take care of my body. I know how to take care of my body. Somebody say hallelujah. Jesus is not asking Uncle Joe or Aunt Nancy, how should I take care of my body? Would you please tell me, please? No. Now, he died for those people and all those who are under their wings. But he doesn't yield to the voice of the world and how to take care of his body. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord forevermore. Well, today's confession for living in divine health, if you want to turn to Psalm 103 and Philippians 4, these are our key verses for today. By the way, this message entitled God's Healing Flow, I wrote down some synonyms for flow. Well, one of the definitions for flow is the words to circulate. And the example it gives in dictionary.com is it says blood flowing, blood flowing. Somebody say blood flowing through one's veins. Boy, does that give you a good picture of the blood flowing. The blood of Jesus flowing through our veins. Somebody say amen, right? The blood of Jesus circulating through his body, bringing health to his body. Amen, right? And some synonyms for the word flow are words like flood. That makes me think of the verse, when the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood, I will lift up a standard against him. Oh, church, it is the best thing ever just to be on God's side. That's where the safety is. That's where the protection is. That's where the provision is. That's where eternal life is. Not in the rainbow, all this transgender stuff, and they call it love, but it is a lie, right? Not in all the other terrible things that, you know, decisions people are making. No. Right? It's in God's plan, in God's kingdom. Amen? Another word is outflow. So the flow, the healing flow, is flowing out of Jesus, out of his word, not out of Washington, not out of Kaiser. Amen? Not out of Olympia or Salem or Sacramento. out of God for his people. Somebody say, for his people. And hear this, he will use his people, just like the story Shelley told this morning about Joseph. The church is a type of Joseph. We should be. It's a type of Jesus, Joseph, you know. But God used Joseph to feed everybody and bring health to everybody. A thought occurred to me this week that if the rainbow crowd, the transgender, all that stuff, if they have their way to the hilt, to the fullest, then eventually Muslim extremists are going to take over the planet and kill them. Because they hate them. You understand? They hate them? Hate them. So really, even the rainbow crowd need the church to rise up and be the church. Obviously to save them, but literally to save them. Amen, right? So there's an outflow from God, and that's the church. That's us. We're not running and hiding, right? And being fearful. I believe over the next few weeks, the Lord is going to have us address the spirit of fear. Amen? And come against it and break its back. There are people by the hundreds, thousands even, afraid to go to church. Now, there are some churches Jesus might say you ought to be afraid to go to the church, right? Amen. But not this one, and many like it. Doors are open, seats are here, right? But people are afraid, but they need to be in church. Hallelujah, right? Church is good for them. Healthy for them. The word stream is another synonym. The stream of God. It's the word wind. The Holy Ghost is a mighty rushing wind. Hallelujah. It's the word continuation. The church, you know, God's healing is a continuation of himself. When Jesus died, his plan continues throughout history. Amen? Glory to God forevermore. It means course. We're on God's course. He's charted a course and we're on it, right? It means a current. We're in the current of God. It means words like to draw. We're being drawn out by the power of God. It means words like electricity, the power of God. Amen? It means words like emanation or emanate, like something emanating from God, right? His healing power emanates from him. It's not his will for anybody to go to hell. No, no, how many know that? It's not God's will for anybody to go to hell. That includes Taliban members. That includes left-wing socialist, communist, liberals. That includes the rainbow folks. That includes, you know, the leaders of Iran and North Korea and you name it. But just the same as it's not his will for anyone to go to hell, it's not his will for anyone to be sick. And that emanates from him. And all we got to do is step into it. Just simply step into God's flow, right? So how would I step out of it? What I say? What I confess? What I believe in my heart? What comes out of my mouth? In the same way I can say I'm healed. Just this past couple weeks, I've had the knee I've never had a problem with flared up on me. There's a healing going on in this knee right now. Shelly did something to her shoulder, trying to do something with the pool, right? So you come to church and you teach healing. Yes, I do. I had a good-natured brother in the Lord just recently tell me, Jesus raised up Lazarus from the dead, but, Lazarus is going to get sick again and die. Poor old Lazarus. And his point was, we're all going to get sick and die. And I was like, yeah, brother, you know, one of the funniest things about that story is as soon as they did that, they decided they were going to kill Jesus and kill Lazarus. Now, how nuts is religion? Control, right? And that spirit of religion is still out there, right? Control the power of God. Remember, you're all going to get sick and die someday. Well, no, that doesn't have to be true. Is everyone going to die someday? If the rapture doesn't happen, I can't think of one person that I know that's 121 years old or 200 years old. But it doesn't mean I have to go in a disease or in an accident. I can just lay down one night and wake up in heaven. Glory to God. Which one of those two mind flows is in God's healing flow? Somebody say, the one that is healthy. The one that is healthy. Somebody say, stay in God's healing flow. Hallelujah. It means words like plenty. It means like words like river. It means words like run, outpouring, gush. Glory to God. We need to march. Amen. So Psalm 103 verse 5 says this. Who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Somebody say, I receive renewed health and renewed youth. Praise God forevermore. Philippians 4:13 says this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's say that out loud. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or the old King James says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Right? talking about Christ is the anointing of God. I can do all things through the anointing of God, which strengthens me. Amen, which brings me health and wholeness. And so in your notes there, let's make this statement of faith today, all right? Say it after me. I speak supernatural energy and health to my body. I am not moved by lying symptoms. I call myself strong in Jesus' name. I call myself healed in Jesus' name. Weakness, pain, tiredness, I speak to you in the name of Jesus and command you to leave my body. You may not stay. You must go. Say that with some authority. You must go. My strength and youth are being renewed as the eagles. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's give God praise for that. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for that mighty word today. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Well, now from Keith Moore's 101 Things God Said About Healing and Health. Yeah, I'll grab that from you. Thank you. Thank you very much. 101 things God said about healing and health, and we're getting to 101 today. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. So Brother Keith says this, God said so. How do we know whether it's God's will to heal us or not? It makes little difference what others say about it. What did he say about it? Remember that God is no respecter of persons, Acts 10:34, and he never changes, Malachi 3:6. So what he said to them yesterday, he's saying to you today. God's word is speaking to me. These statements are taken directly from the Bible with little or no variation. The verbs and construction have been changed to apply to you personally and sum up the thoughts in some instances. Also, many of these statements are prefaced by phrases like, if you walk in my commandments, if you believe and obey, etc. So God said this. What did God say? Somebody say, what did God say? Right? Not what did so-and-so say. What did God say? And let's believe that. Let's stick with that. That's why we should examine everything we hear, everything that's preached. That, you know, don't just receive it. Look at it in the Word and apply it. If it's, you know, if it's biblical, right? So here we go. Let's say these things together. I got it up on the screen here. Ready? Begin. I will deliver you from every evil work. 2 Timothy 4:18. What does that imply right there? Sick, somebody say, sickness is an evil thing. Sickness is an evil work. Amen? So we don't embrace that stuff, right? Ready, go. I tasted death for you. I destroyed the devil who had the power of death. I've delivered you from the fear of death and bondage. Hebrews 2, 9, 14, and 15. Hallelujah. See, it's not even God's will for us to live in fear of these things. Amen? Jesus tasted death for me. He destroyed the devil who had the power of death. And he's delivered us from the fear of death and bondage, right? So what's my response to that? I believe it. I believe it for me, right? Ready, go. I wash your body with pure water. Hebrews 10:22, Ephesians 5:26. Somebody just say, wash me, Lord. Wash me, Lord. And the washing of God's pure water, his word, is a continual cleansing. I took a shower yesterday. I'll have to take another one today. You don't just take one shower and you're good for life, right? Mercy, if that's the case, right? We're continually cleansed with God's word. Ready, begin. Lift up the weak hands and feeble knees. Oh, there's my word right there. Woo! Lift up the weak hands and feeble knees. Don't let that which is lame be turned aside, but rather let me heal it. Hebrews 12, 12, and 13. I love that. Jesus is just saying, why don't you just let me be me? That's one of the things that really I felt in my gut and my heart when we started this church was, Lord, we just want this to be a place where you can be yourself. So he's saying right here, just let me be the healer, okay? Somebody say, go ahead, Lord. Go ahead, amen. Ready, go. Let the elders anoint you and pray for you in my name, and I will raise you up. James 5, 14 and 15. Amen. Get some hands laid on you by somebody that's been a believer for more than 5 minutes, right? Could be a minister, myself, Shelly, but anybody who's been a born-again believer and has faith for healing, you are qualified to anoint someone and pray for them to be healed, right? Amen. The prayer of faith. Ready, go. Pray for one another, and I will heal you. James 5:16. And boy, have we've seen that in action in recent history, haven't we? And I love that about Pastor Shelley, is she's always got that prayer email going and intercessory prayer going, and it's just always going. Amen. It's a good thing. Praise the Lord. And we're seeing results from it. Ready, go. By my stripes you were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. Now, if that was they call the drop the mic moment, there you go. Amen. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. When his back was shredded, his organs were exposed. They beat him almost to death before they crucified him. Most men probably would have died just from the beating that he took, and it was not for his enjoyment. It was for our healing. That's why we don't accept anything but what he paid for on our behalf. Amen? Ready, go. My divine power has given unto you all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of me. 2 Peter 1:3. Somebody say, Lord, I receive your life, the life of God on the inside of me. Praise the name of Jesus. Ready, begin. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Revelation 22, 17. Shelley was talking about being willing and obedient. Well, sometimes the issue is the person isn't willing to be healed. They're not willing to believe God for healing because they were taught differently. Or because they like sympathy. Because they like... I had one person tell me years ago, Pastor Steve, if I get healed, I'll lose all my government assistance. Yikes. I mean, somebody say, be willing. Amen? I think of the story of the blind man that came to Jesus. And, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Shut up. All the people, shut up, right? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And there, all the crowd are telling him to be quiet. Jesus calls him. He's a blind man. And Jesus asks this blind man, what would you like me to do for you? And the blind man didn't say, can I just get some weed money? I just need some booze money, please. No. He said that I might receive my sight. Why? Why? If he gets his sight back, he loses the sympathy. But if he gets his sight back, he can go get a job. He can become a positive contributor to society. He can get back to work, right? Amen. And Jesus, of course, healed him. Praise God. Because he willed, he wanted it. He wanted what Jesus had for him. Amen? Praise the Lord forevermore. And finally, number 101. Way to go, church, you did it! Woo! Beloved. Oh, man, that's a big word. Why does God heal me? Somebody say, because he loves me. Not because I'm so good, I just deserve it. Or I wasn't so bad, therefore I'll get my... No, it's because he loves me. That's why he heals me. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may be in health. 3 John 2. So you want to make Abba Father, Daddy God happy? Somebody say, be healed. He's happy when I'm healed. Somebody say amen. Why don't y'all stand up on your feet this morning? And we're going to make our declaration of healing today. Same one we've been doing, right? So say this after me. Jesus Christ is Lord over me, spirit, soul, and body. Sickness, I resist you in the name of Jesus. I enforce the will of God on you today. Leave my presence now. I believe I receive healing now. I am well now in Jesus' name. I forgive and receive my forgiveness in Jesus' name. Now just praise the Lord for your healing. Oh God, we praise you and we thank you for being our healer. And I pronounce you, just like I would at the conclusion of a wedding, by the authority that is invested in me, I pronounce you man and wife. Well, in the name of Jesus, by the authority invested in me as a minister of the gospel, I pronounce you healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Somebody just thank him for it. And praise God for that today in Jesus' mighty name. God, we praise you. Lord, we praise you for it all. And we take that healing anointing with us wherever we go. Wherever we go. Wherever we go. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen.